Well, I think it's really what we've been talking about, that if we could just all accept and not just accept, but appreciate all the different ways that children learn, and that it's not a competition, that having, I always call it this ecosystem, right? That having this amazing ecosystem where children can learn in the way that is best for them at the time that they need it would just be amazing. And I think that deep down, that's what everyone wants.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Liz Brenner. Liz is the superintendent of Compass Charter Schools in California. Liz, thank you so much for joining me today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about Compass Charter School and about what your role is there.
So Compass Charter School is actually a fully virtual school. We serve about 2,400 TK through 12th grade scholars, and I am their superintendent and CEO.
Nice. And how long has Compass been around?
Compass has been serving scholars for over 10 years, and I've been here in my role for a little bit over 2.5 years now.
Nice. Very, very nice. So how did you guys get started?
So basically, there's a need in California, well, really in all states, for different types of education to meet the needs of all of our children. And so Compass is part of a growing movement of charter schools that are serving in an alternative environment, in this case, fully virtual. And so seeing that need, they started as a fully online program, and then during COVID grew very rapidly as there was a great need for families who really wanted to have that school choice and have the choice of not just the school, but also their curriculum and how they are teaching their children at home. And so we grew very much during those years, and then kind of had a bit of a downfall after a reduction in enrollment. And now we've really stabilized over the past couple of years. So it's definitely filling a need for the families that it works for.
Yeah. And it does work for a lot of families. I Lighthouse, as I mentioned prior, we work with several virtual charter schools in California, and it's such a great model for, it's not for every child, but it is definitely for those that want that. And one of the things that I heard from parents during the pandemic was many stories where the child was failing in school, and the child, and not every child, this is just an example, but because I never want to step on a whole bunch of toes. I don't want everybody to be mad at me because I said one particular thing, but there were children that were not doing well in the traditional setting. And had the pandemic happened, the parents would have never known, but they got them out of that traditional model. And all of a sudden they went from failing to a straight A student. And it was like, what a surprise. But, you know, for those of us that have been in this industry and that know that there are children, it's amazing. So, I'm grateful that this is a model that's out there. So it's fantastic. So what do you think are some of your biggest challenges right now?
Some of the biggest challenges that we face right now in California really are the legislative changes that are, we're constantly a focus area for legislation, and it's understandable. There have been some bad actors in the past. There have been some really big charter school fraud cases in California. And I think as a charter school administrator, I recognize that. And I always strive to ensure that my school is following the rules and that we are being compliant and that we are being responsible. And so, it's important to work together to find ways that we can make sure that we are still different and creative and innovative, and that we're held accountable in a way that makes sense for schools like ours. And so that really is one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important to not, one of the things that happens is, one bad apple spoils the whole bunch, right? And that's not great. And having a blanket legislation or a blanket policy because of what one bad person did is is unfortunate, and we really are trying to bring to light the good things that are happening. And how you guys have multiple locations, is that correct?
Correct. We serve our scholars in San Diego, Los Angeles, and Yolo counties, and they're adjacent counties because that's how the law works here in California. And so we're very geographically spread out. And that allows us to really reach a diverse student population. So, you know, earlier you were talking about how this is the right choice for the families that it really works for. And it's really, to me, not an either or, it's an and, right? And so there are scholars who really thrive in this environment, and they are very diverse. And I think that's another misperception around especially virtual schools. We currently have over 200 of our families that are experiencing homelessness, and they are able to stay connected to their education because their school goes wherever they go. And we make sure that they have technology and internet and all the materials and supplies that they need. I mean, we can ship to a Dropbox, we can, you know, to a shelter, wherever they are. And so we are keeping them connected. And the state allows us to, for those particular families, if they have to move like out of their district, that we can continue to serve them and maintaining that connection. And that includes connections to their mental health services, to we have a person whose entire job is to help them stay connected with housing services, food services, all of the things that they need. And so I think sometimes the perception is that there's only a certain kind of student that benefits from virtual education, but it really is all students. And so letting people know that this is a choice, that we are a free public school, I think that's another huge misperception, that charter schools are somehow charging money or that we're private schools. And we're absolutely not. We are just a public school that operates differently from other public schools. And so that access is really important to me. And it's one of the things that really drew me to Compass when I first came here.
Yeah. And what a service that you're giving kids that their whole life is in crisis because they have no home, and yet they can still, and parents that just because they've run on hard times doesn't mean their parents don't love them, right? I mean, and it can be a single parent, you know, and homelessness is, I don't know what the statistics are, but I'm sure that it's probably higher if you're not in a partnership relationship. But it's just, you know, and that's something I learned early on in my career. Parent love and parent care doesn't have geographical or socioeconomical lines. And you see that so much because with a charter school, you can do that. But you have the other end, too, where you have maybe a child actor who needs the flexibility of a charter school like this so they can still learn and have a totally, or athletes. I've seen athletes as well who need an education and their parents want to make sure they get that education. And this is a model that really works and allows them. And that's the total other end of the spectrum. So it's fascinating. It really is. So, okay. So what other things would you say are things that would benefit people to know about what you guys do, other than we've talked about the homelessness and the flexibility? What other kinds of things are really important or you'd like for people to know about when it comes to what you guys do?
Well, when I first came to Compass, one of the things that really impressed me was that I heard from a lot of our staff that the relationships that they have with other staff here at the school are stronger than any relationships they had with staff in their previous experience in an in-person setting. And I thought that was really surprising that we could have these relationships that are basically over Zoom or, you know, in a virtual environment. And so as I started, you know, working in the organization and getting to know people, I noticed that there are a lot of things that are built in at Compass that really support that connection of staff. And so one of the things, and I think this is something that kind of started I don't know that it started at Compass during COVID, but I think a lot of people during COVID did this for a little while and then they stopped doing it. And that is like building in connection time to meetings. So we start our meetings with connection time, and it could be around, kind of what you're doing. We do all kinds of creative things, but we always start with some kind of connection time. It gives us a chance to be human with each other, to just have those conversations. I also have that once a month. I have just coffee with the superintendent. Anybody can come. We don't talk about work-related things. We share about our families and our interests, and it's really a great way to get to know each other and to build those relationships. And so I think that that is another misperception that in a virtual environment, you can't have strong relationships. And actually, I have seen that that is possible, and in some cases, actually has built even stronger relationships, because I think you also have access to more people. If you think of geographic locations of being at a school site, you really are only seeing those people that are physically, in your building or in your classroom, in your department. Whereas in a virtual environment, we have a lot of cross-departmental meetings. We have a, the ability to connect with each other in a lot of different ways. And so that really helps us. And I know for me coming in as a leader, one of the things that I did see, one of the disconnects that I saw was that there was a lack of trust throughout the organization. So even though we had these really strong personal relationships kind of within departments, when we looked overall at the organization, it was very compartmentalized. And so I really started doing some very purposeful work around trust building and trust development. And we're in our third year now. It's been challenging. It's something that when I started out too, I said, this journey never ends, right? Because we keep trust people until that trust is violated. And those trust violations can happen at any time, even with somebody that you really, really trust. And we know that in any relationship, when you have that trust violation, there has to be a healing process and there has to be time to focus on coming to understanding and healing that hurt. And so we've been very purposeful as a leadership team to have these discussions about what trust looks like and how that ties in with other things like accountability and support and communication, and really using language that holds each other accountable. And one of the things that we are also implementing is community circles. So coming together and working on healing those past harms and having those open conversations and being honest and vulnerable with each other, and really highlighting that as a leadership quality, that vulnerability and the willingness to extend trust and to be trustworthy are so critical. And none of us are perfect and never going to get it right. It's always going to be a journey. But when we have that really strong basis and that culture of trust, then it makes it easier to continue to grow and continue to build that positive culture, even in a virtual environment.
It's interesting that you say all of that because you're talking about Lighthouse. That is exactly how we do things. Like our management team, we have a Monday meeting, and the first thing we do is now we're also I'm also a Christian, so I pray. But the other thing that we do is best work news and best personal news. Everybody goes around and tells us their best work news from the week before, but also their best personal news. And I have people that I have worked for and with for 15 years that I have never met in person, and they are people that I'm incredibly close to. Our assistant director of clinical services, her name is Shelley Kaufman, and she's an OT, and she lives up in Minnesota. And I met her for the first time last month, and I have known her for 14 years. And it just was, I mean, it was just like incredible because, it was just like, how did we not? But you absolutely can have these incredible conversations and these incredible emotional connections with people And I've done that. I've seen that with the kids too. As an SLP, you know, I've started doing teletherapy in 2011, and it's the same thing. Those kids, and boy, you know, when a child comes on, you know, they're like, "Do you, well, you can't see what's going on." It doesn't matter. You know, a child, when they come to you and you've seen them over and over and over, you get to know their environment. You get to know how they are. You get to know their demeanor. And when they come in and there's a different environment or there's a different look on her face, you know how many times I've just said, okay, I had these plans, they just go right out the window because it's like you have to deal with emotionally what's going on with that child. The dog died, grandma's sick, you know, daddy lost his job, and a million things, you know. And then that referral happens because, you know, it's like this is something that is a crisis that this child needs right away. And I, as an SLP, that's my responsibility. All of us as educators, you know that, but to take care of that child, and it is something that you get to know those kids, and they are, and they're just one of the things I also love to do when I was, because I was in Michigan when I was seeing kids initially, and I was seeing kids in California. I'd love to pull up a map. And what a great lesson in geography, too, you know, like showing them this is where you live, this is where Mrs. Courtney is. Do you know how far that is? It just was super fun. And it doesn't, geography doesn't always matter when it comes to working. And what a gift we have, right? To be able to have this technology that allows us, right?
Yes, and I love doing that too because again, we serve our scholars all over California, and to be able to let them know, you know, where they are and maybe where other their classmates are, and it's exposing them to people outside of their community that they might not normally get to interact with. And we've also had instances where they've found out, oh, you live close to me, and then we have a lot of our families join together, and their kids know each other, and so they get to be in person too. So I think that's another common misperception of virtual education is that, you know, all the kids are in some dark room somewhere, never socializing, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. If nothing else, they are actually very much part of their communities. They are, you know, participating in community events or going to community centers and interacting with other people that are local to them, probably more than even if they were in a brick and mortar school that wasn't in their neighborhood, right? And so, you know, they're very much connecting with each other in that way, and then also being able to connect with others that are outside of their community.
And all ages too. You know, you end up with youngers and olders interacting together much more too than maybe a brick and mortar school because they're with their own age kids all day. So, but that, you know, and again, it's a generalization. I hate generalizations, but I just, you know, it is something that happens, and you get the opportunity to do some things that might not happen in a different setting. And not that one is better or worse. I always have to be careful because I never want to offend anybody. I don't want anybody to think that I'm taking sides, because I certainly am not. There are so many amazing things that are happening in it. That's the whole point of Brighter Together, is talking about the amazing things that are happening in education and how we live in a country, in a nation where we can have the choice to have this kind of education or that kind of an education. And the fact that homeless kids are getting, I just want to bring back to that, because that to me is so, such an incredible thing that you guys are doing, that I just highlighted again that these kids that are struggling with homelessness still have the opportunity to get an education. That's not something that in the 1960s or 70s or 80s probably would have had the opportunity to do. So keep it up. That's great. So I have one last question, Liz, I always try to ask, and I always tell people you cannot say money, and it has to be something within your own world, your own sphere of influence, right? So, but if you could change, if you could just miraculously fix one problem that you see, just it would be gone. If you could fix it, one thing in your career, in your education, in your realm, what would that be?
Oh my goodness. Well, I think it's really what we've been talking about, that if we could just all accept and not just accept, but appreciate all the different ways that children learn, and that it's not a competition, that having, I always call it this ecosystem, right? That having this amazing ecosystem where children can learn in the way that is best for them at the time that they need it. That would just be amazing. And I think that deep down, that's what everyone wants. I mean, we all want our children to be happy and to thrive and to learn in an environment that is positive and challenges them and supports them. And I think that it would be wonderful if all of us could look around and say, wow, look at all of these great options and what is right for this child in this moment. Let's make that available. And what's right for that child the next year or the different class might be different. And that's okay. But to provide every child with an education environment where they can thrive, that would be my biggest wish. And I think that that's one of the biggest challenges that we have.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Great answer. So, Liz, thank you so much for your time. This has been a great conversation. Where should people go if they want to learn more about you and about Compass Charter Schools?
Well, we can definitely go to our website at compasscharters.org, and there's lots of information there about our organization, our school, and what we do. I'm also a member of the Reaching at Promise Students Association, and that's rapsa.org, which is an organization that supports children that are struggling, and we do a lot of great work there too. So I think those are two great resources and places to learn more.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for being on the Brighter Together podcast because we really are brighter together.
Thank you.